I know some of you guys are golfers, and I'd like to tell you one of my newest golf stories. It is probably one of my favorite activities in terms of recreation, that is. And as we get into this subject this morning, you'll see that I have it even on my objectives. And that is to play golf, or attempt to play golf, once a week when I'm home. How many of you guys play golf? Let me see your hands. Well, that's not very many. Some of you wives won't appreciate this story. My wife doesn't, and some of you guys probably won't understand it if you're not a fanatic. These two guys were out on the golf course. You know, you're a pretty somber bunch this morning. Would you all smile? Good. Okay. These two guys were out on the golf course, and it happened to be a husband and a wife. And I'm not sure whether she was playing with him or not, or just going along for the view. My wife does that occasionally, although at our ages, she finally has started to play golf. I guess after 25 years of marriage, she has decided to join me rather than fight me. But they got out of this one hole, and he hit a terrible slice, which means the ball goes off the tee like that. And he ended up over in the rough behind a barn. And the barn was between him and the green, which was the objective. And he stood there and looked at the shot, and man, there was just no way. He couldn't slice it around the barn this way. He couldn't hook it around the barn this way. He couldn't get over the top of it. And he just had a totally impossible shot, and he hated to waste a stroke by, you know, taking it and replacing it. Finally, his wife came up with a beautiful idea. She said, "Honey, you know, I think if I hold the barn doors open on both ends, you can shoot right through the barn to the green." And so he said, "Well, let's try it." And so they opened up both ends of the barn door, and sure enough, you could see the green right through it. Well, one barn door wouldn't stay open by itself, and she had to stand there and hold it. And so he gets the ball all set, he gets the right club out. He had the shot all lined up, he takes a vicious swing at it and hits the ball and hits his wife holding the barn door and kills her. Tragic. Well, you know, the next week was kind of hectic, the funeral and everything, and so 2 weeks later he was out playing golf again with another friend of his on the same golf course. The same hole. He does the same thing. He slices the ball, and it ends up almost in the identical spot behind this barn. And so they walk over, and he looks at it and with a very disgusted look on his face, and his partner very brightly says, "I've got an idea. If we open up both barn doors, I think you can shoot right through and make it." And his response was, "Well, I tried that 2 weeks ago, and I took an 8 on this hole." My wife doesn't like that joke. Well, I think everybody's here. The only reason I told that is to let everybody get a seat. Let's bow now in a word of prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact of laughter and fun and hilarity and a good time. We pray that this week will be a balance in all of our lives of that which you would speak to us about spiritually, of fellowshipping on a spiritual level, and at the same time, of enjoying our time here and giving you thanks and praise for the fact that we can laugh and enjoy one another's fellowship together. I pray, Lord, for this entire week, as we have been praying, that it will be a life-changing experience for many who are here. And now, Lord, this morning, as we talk about this matter of setting objectives and maintaining them, as a lifestyle of living the Christian life, that you will give us alert minds, attentiveness to that which you have to say to us. Keep us from wandering off mentally and becoming fuzzy in our thinking and gathering wool mentally, but rather give us attention to that which you would say to us, both from your word and in terms of practical application of this matter of setting objectives for our life. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Now, I am so convinced that this matter of operating my life in terms of objectives is so important that it, to me, it has become a lifestyle. It is a way of living life that gives it greater fulfillment, greater purpose, greater meaning, and greater accomplishment. And I hope that in the few minutes we have together this morning that I can convince some of you of the same thing if you're not already convinced. Where are you going? How do you know when you've gotten there? That is the purpose of setting objectives, to know where we're going and then to know when we've gotten there. If you have no objectives, you have no goals, and therefore, any old thing will do. And you can be satisfied with mediocrity when something has been accomplished, because you don't know whether it really is significant or not. It has no priority attached to it. Whereas if you are willing to take the time, and I do mean it takes time, and the work, and the prayer, to sit down and prayerfully before God determine what it is He wants you to do in terms of setting objectives for the coming year, it can be a very fulfilling and rewarding experience. Several months from now, as you look back and evaluate where you have been and what has been accomplished, and you will know that it has been top priority because it's something that God has determined beforehand that He wants you to do and to accomplish. If you have your Bibles, take a look at a very key passage on this whole matter of objective setting. Jeremiah 31, 21. Jeremiah 31, 21. Now perhaps one of the things that some of you will want to set as a goal or an objective for yourself this year is to memorize the books of the Bible by heart. Genesis through Revelation, so you can find your way around. Some of you are not doing very well this morning. I can tell by the shuffling of the pages that you're hunting for Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. Page 747. All right, verse 21, chapter 31. Set up waymarks for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Set up waymarks for yourself. Make yourself guideposts so that you know where you're going. You know where you're headed. You know you're on track. You know you're on the right road. It's to keep us in line. It's to keep us on target. Guideposts and waymarks. Consider well the highway ahead. Looking ahead on the highway. The road by which you went behind you. Now both are important in the setting of objectives. The historical perspective of looking back and evaluating where I have been and looking ahead to see where I want to go. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail in just a few minutes. But this is a key passage, and I would ask you to come back to it again and again on this matter of establishing objectives for yourself, waymarks, guideposts, considering well the highway ahead and the road by which you went or you have been over. and looking at it from an evaluating standpoint. How did I do? How well have I done? What are the areas of weakness? What do I need to strengthen? Which help me establish new goals for the time period ahead. Now, a couple of other passages that you just might want to jot down and take a look at, we're not going to look at them right now, are Philippians 3, 13 and 14, and Psalm 32:8. Just a few introductory thoughts on this matter of setting objectives before we get into some of the things that you've been given as far as a handout is concerned. Objective setting for my life grows out of extended time alone with God as a Christian. And I am making the assumption this morning that all of us here know Jesus Christ personally as our Savior, and therefore we want our lives as much as is possible to count for Him, regardless of what my occupation or vocation may be. Housewife, lawyer, doctor, merchant, thief. Chief. It grows out of extended time alone with God. It needs to be thought through. There needs to be analysis made. There needs to be that looking back and evaluating. There needs to be not introspection, but inventory taken. Know yourself. What is it? Matthew 26. I think it is verse 41, along in there someplace. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That word watch has the implication of knowing myself so that I can be on the alert for needs, for weaknesses in my own life that need strengthening. Watch and pray. That's what is involved in setting objectives. And as I've mentioned, living by objectives is an approach to life which involves three or four things. First of all, establishing areas of accountability. For what am I accountable to God? Now, right now, we're talking about accountability to God. In just a second, I want to talk about another area of accountability, which some of you men especially may have as an application of this. Also, we establish target periods or dates. By a certain time, this goal will have been achieved. A third thing, we structure objectives which are to be achieved within those target dates. We structure objectives. And then thirdly, we take inventory. We measure actual achievement versus our stated objective. And this is a repetitive process that goes on and repeats itself over and over again. And some goals or objectives that we have may have a target period of a month. Others may have a target period of a year. Some as much as 3 or 4 years. Or maybe even longer in certain cases. Now, objectives are developed as a result of what I see my responsibility to God to be. That is, as it relates to my life and my ministry. And as you take a look at the things that have been handed out to you, if you look, I think at the, let's see, where is it? It's the second page, which is, I've simply given you a set of my own, the first draft of my own objectives for this coming year, and I start the year with September 1 for myself. And I've divided it into two parts, life and ministry. And the first thing I need to determine is, in relation to my life and my ministry, what is God holding me accountable for? What are my responsibilities in my own life and in my ministry before the Lord. Now that takes some thought. If you take verses like Luke 2:52, 1 Timothy 4:8, Ephesians 5:25, and 6:4, you can break it down into generally four categories: physical, intellectual, spiritual, and family, which is the approach I take. Now, you may want to add some other things, and I'll mention some possibilities in just a minute. Then my ministry, looking at verses like 2 Corinthians 9:7, which has to do with money. Money can be a ministry through giving. Romans 12:13. 1 Peter 4:9, the use of our home as a means of ministry. 2 Timothy 4:2, the sharing of the word as a means of ministry. Now, I have another accountability that is indirectly to the Lord, but directly to the outfit for whom I work. And most of you guys are in this category as well. Your job. I have an accountability to the navigators. They are holding me responsible for certain things that are to be achieved. And I've got to know what those are. And that comes out initially in the form of a job description, which also I have incorporated here just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I've put in my job description here. It's the third page in the handouts that you have been given. And once that has been determined, what my responsibilities are in terms of my job, then I can set priority objectives, which I've also given to you for this coming year, which my boss and I have gone over several times, and we have determined now that these seven things are the things that I'm going to be working on primarily for this next year. Now, I know that some of you men are probably involved in a program in your job that is called Management by Objectives. When I came across this several years ago, it so revolutionized the way I operated in my job with the navigators that I incorporated it into my life. And I manage my life by objectives. And it's a fantastic way to live. It helps me set goals and determine before the Lord how He wants me to operate on a day-by-day basis. Now, in order to do this, let me back up just a minute and say something again that is very, very important. And here's where you need the time alone with God, up on these red rocks someplace. For what are you accountable to God? What do you feel in your life and in your ministry God is holding you accountable for? Now, that's where you got to start. And what will come out of that, really, is a job description for your life and your ministry, putting it in technical management terms. Then from that, you will pick out those things that are of top priority. In other words, once you have arrived at a list of those things that God is holding you responsible for, after you've come up with that, and there may be 10 or 15 things on it, then you need to rearrange those in order of priority. Now, you see, this is where prayer and thought and time alone with God comes in, because this does just happen. It doesn't come to us like this. This is something that takes prayer and time. Then once you have rearranged those items on your life and ministry job description, if you will, those areas of accountability in terms of priorities, then you take the first few that are top and begin to determine what goals or objectives the Lord wants you to accomplish within a certain time frame. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a quarter of the year. That's for you to determine before the Lord. I personally take a year at a time. Now, sometimes there are goals that I have within that time frame that are shorter in period, and if so, I state them. And you'll see that one of my goals is stated in terms of by October 15th of this particular year. Now, I have mentioned four general areas of life and three of ministry: physical, intellectual, spiritual, and family in our life, and giving, the use of our home, and the sharing of the word generally in our ministry. Some other areas that you may want to consider: such things as attitudes. Does God want to change an attitude in your life? Prayer, meditation, faith. Does He want you to step out and trust Him for something? Is it something that He has been speaking to you about? This matter of faith. Or perhaps of prayer, of developing a stronger prayer life than you now have. Is this something He wants you to work on this next year? Evangelism. Does He want you to do more in the matter of witnessing, or perhaps an evangelistic Bible study? Disciple making. This aspect of ministry. Leadership development. What do you know about leadership? Have you been thrust into a position of leadership and you begin to examine your own mind and find out you really don't know too much about leading people? Well, there's a lot written on the subject. There's a lot of things that a person can do to learn more about it and become more effective as a leader. Money management. These are a few areas that just come to my mind that you might want to think about in terms of objectives. Another thing that I've already touched on is give consideration to the historical perspective in determining the road ahead. How did I do last year in my life and in my ministry? Where did I blow it? What do I need to really work on this coming year in light of what I have observed as I take inventory of my life and ministry this past year? What are known weaknesses that are a priority to work on? What areas do I need further development? What are the high priority routine items in my life? For instance, the quiet time. How are you doing? I'm sure you've had a message this week, or will get one, on the quiet time. Well, how has it been this past year? Have you been fairly consistent? Is it something that's alive and real and vital to you, or does it need jacking up a little bit? Is this something you need, which is really a routine item, routine in the sense that it's a daily thing? But maybe you need to give it special attention, and therefore it needs to be incorporated into your objectives. Now, there are two kinds of objectives primarily. One is quantitative and the other is qualitative. The quantitative, of course, are easier to measure. Qualitative are harder to measure, whether you have accomplished them or not. And if you'll take a look at the second page on my objectives for September 1, 1975 to August 31, 76, I'll point out the difference between a qualitative and a quantitative objective. Under 1B, the physical, a quantitative objective would be, number one, to get down to 180 pounds by October 15th and maintain my weight at or below that level. Now, that is very quantitative. It's easy to measure. All I got to do is step on the scale. Now, a qualitative objective would be under family, item 2, to give encouragement and guidance to Tim and Lynn. That's my daughter and her husband, who are living back in Illinois. And from time to time, we get together with them. And to give them encouragement and guidance. Well, that's a little hard to measure, isn't it? And yet, I feel very strongly that it's something that God wants me to work on this coming year. They just got married in April. They are very open. They're teachable. They're learning. They're starting a whole new life together. And Dad can help. Carol and I have been married for 25 years. We've been through some things. We've already talked to them about a great many of them, but they're going to face new experiences, and we can encourage them, and we can help them. But that's kind of hard to measure. It's a qualitative type of objective. And yet I need to work on that just as hard as I do the 180-pound thing, even though it's not as measurable. So there are two kinds, and you'll find yourself gravitating probably more toward the qualitative when it comes to your life than you will the quantitative. You know, you have as an objective to be godly. Well, how do you measure godliness? What is it? How do you know when you've achieved it? And yet it's a very worthwhile goal. It's very scriptural. So there are these two kinds of objectives that you'll find yourself writing. Now the last thing, just in introductory remarks, I want to say is that setting objectives enables us to determine our priorities. All of us can find more to do than we have time to do. There is just so much to do in this world. It is such an exciting place to live. It's such an exciting time in history to live as a Christian. And I don't know about you, but there are far more things that I can get involved in than I've got time to get involved in. So somewhere along the line, I've got to say no and yes. I've got to make decisions on what I spend my time doing. And all of us, for the most part, are in the same boat. Now, objectives, clearly stated and established, help me to do that. I am continually asking myself, in my job and in my life, how does this fit in terms of the objectives which I have predetermined before the Lord? Does it make a contribution or not? And if it doesn't, more than likely, I say no, even though it may be a good thing to get involved in. And oftentimes, in Christians' lives especially, the good becomes the enemy of the best. And the reason that happens is because we don't know where we're going. We have not taken the time or the trouble to have pre-established goals and objectives. And so we drift through life. The urgent captures our attention and our time. And you know as well as I do that the urgent is always not the best. Is not always the best. So if we set objectives, it keeps us on track and it helps us determine what our priorities are in terms of the use of our time, especially on a day-by-day basis. All right, now let's take a look at this sheet that you have. Criteria for effective objectives. And I want to go through these with you to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. An objective should be written. I think this is pretty obvious. Thoughts disentangle themselves, passing over the lips and pencil tips. So when you put it down on paper, you know you understand it. It's there. It's in black and white. And also you can go back to it. Pull it out every once in a while and review it and make sure you're still operating in terms of your objectives. Now, the style and the content of a written objective, I have suggested a way that I have found very helpful to state an objective in writing. You start out with a word to, then you add an action word or a phrase to it. You put down what you expect to happen in terms of results, and then you attach a date to it, when it is supposed to have happened by. Now, in terms of my own objectives, the date has been put at the top of the page, unless there is an exception. It's a year span of time. Take a look at the first one under spiritual. To maintain a consistent quiet time. Starts out with the word to. The action word is maintain. Maintenance is my goal. Is the action that I want to take, I should say. Consistency is the goal. And the object in mind is the quiet time. Now, consistency to me is not a specific number of days out of the year. I don't rate consistency on the basis of 5 out of 7 in a week, or 28 out of 30 in a month. I rate consistency in my life in terms of, well, like the weather. In Colorado, there are 4 seasons of the year. There's fall, winter, spring and summer. However, as you have noticed since you've been here this week, the weather in Colorado is very variable. It changes quite rapidly. However, the climate doesn't change. We're going to have fall next. We can count on that. Beginning about the middle or early part of October, there's going to become a briskness in the air, and it's going to start changing. The leaves will start turning up in the mountains. The aspen will turn yellow. It's a beautiful time of the year here. Then we can count on winter. We'll have some cold days in late December, January, and early February. Then along about March, it's going to start warming up. We're going to have stronger winds. The days will be warm, the nights will be cold, and I mean cold. In spring here, the days can be in the mid-60s, low 70s, and it'll get down to freezing at night. That's why our grass doesn't grow very rapidly here until early summer. But we can count on that every year. But on a daily basis, the weather changes. It's beautiful out there right now, but just wait till about 3:30 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. The clouds will start rolling over Pikes Peak. It may rain. You'll see a little thunder. Scattered showers are counted on all summer long here in the afternoon. In fact, Carol and I were talking about this last night, and we were wondering why we don't have the conference meetings in the afternoon and give you the mornings off. The mornings are so gorgeous here. I want my quiet time in terms of consistency to be not like the weather, but like the climate. You see the difference? A consistency of climate. It has to do with my in-tuneness to God. It doesn't have to do with a certain number of days out of the month. It has to do with a whole relationship to the Lord. Now, sure, I want to be as consistent as possible on a daily basis. But that's not how I measure it. I measure it in terms of my heart's being in tune with the Lord Himself, an intimacy. In fact, as I was rethinking this, and you'll notice that this is the first draft that I've done on this, I put an overall goal just in pencil for my spiritual life this year, to keep my relationship and walk with God vital and intimate. Now there is the measurement, huh? See, that's a qualitative measurement that is very real, and it can be measured. But in order to do that, I know that I've got to maintain a consistent quiet time. But it's measured in terms of vitalness and intimacy in my relationship with the Lord. Not can I check off every day of the month on the calendar. That can be devastating as far as a routine is concerned. Now, we need to strive for that. But what I am saying is, don't use that as the measurement of determining whether your quiet time is good or not. Another one is item B, point one, as far as this two with the action word or phrase resulting in a date. And I've already referred to this one, to get down to 180 pounds by October 15. Get down is the action, 180 pounds is the result, and by October 15 is the date. That didn't give me much time, and I got a long way to go. But I picked that date in particular for a reason. And then to maintain it, twofold prong to this objective, at or below that level. That is not easy for me. That is one of the toughest ones on there for me. And yet I know I need to do it. Because my physical well-being affects my spiritual walk with the Lord. I'm sure that many of you realize this. And I have rewritten, by the way, another overall objective for physical. I've just penciled this one in as I've rethought this. To stay in good physical condition. And in order to do that, I know I got to lose some weight. But I got to do more than that. Now, for you guys who are working at a job, let me have you turn to the job description and the objectives. Take a look at my number one objective on my job. Two, it begins with. Finalize is the action. In other words, have it finished within the time frame. The separation of international headquarters from U.S. administrative and corporate headquarters, and to communicate this separation to the staff. Now, that is in the process of being done now. But I have set as a goal, with which my boss has agreed, that this is something we need to give special attention to within this next year and accomplish and finalize. Well, about every 2 weeks, I pull this sheet of paper out of my file, which I keep in my drawer of my desk, and review it. I go over these seven items, and it helps me determine the priorities of what I'm giving my time to in my job. And we can do the same for our life and for our ministry. Now, the second item under criteria for effective objectives. An objective should be realistic, that is, attainable. I am going to memorize one verse of Scripture every day for this coming year. Attainable? Well, it's at least marginal whether it's attainable. To a week, very, very attainable. So make sure that those that you write down and pray over, that you really can achieve them, that they're realistic. And you can... See, I think it's realistic that I can get down to 180 pounds. If I'd put 170, no chance. I can maintain a jogging program at least 3 times a week, 2 miles each time. I can do that. I'd like to do more, but I know I can do that. And if I do that, I can achieve my goal of staying in shape. To keep knowledgeable of world events. That's kind of one of those qualitative type of things. It's a little bit difficult to measure, but I am in the process of working out a little plan whereby I know I can achieve what I want to achieve by doing that in that area. And we're going to talk about plans in just a minute. Number three, an objective should have some stretch, room for growth. Set a minimum, but keep in mind that if you could do just a little bit more, you're going to turn into a tiger. That's what we want to be, as tigers, especially when it comes to spiritual things for the Lord. And on several of these that I have written, I have put the term at least. That makes me realize that I can probably do more, but this is at least I'm going to do this. Put some stretch in it. Number four, an objective should be specific enough to permit measuring. Now, as I've already mentioned, when you get to a qualitative type of objective, it becomes a little more difficult to measure. And yet, if we can work out a plan to accompany how we are going to achieve that objective, the plan often can be measured. Usually, as I've mentioned there, an objective is stated in terms of results, not activities. Now, that's usually not always the case. For instance, if you look at on my objectives, you look at item 1B, the 180-pound thing. That is that's a result-oriented thing. If you look at A, 1 and 2, it's more in terms of activities. And that's one of the reasons why I rewrote an overall objective of which this is part of the plan to accomplish it. And that brings me to another item which I did not list on your sheet. It was something that I somehow slipped up on. It would be number six. Five is an objective should be written concerning a priority matter and not routine items, unless routine items we're fouling up on them or they are of such significance that we feel they need to be incorporated into our objectives. Otherwise, they probably should be just put on a do list. Don't come up with a list of objectives that's 20 or 30 in number. Pick a few that are very pointed and that are top priority in your life and in your ministry. Now, number six, and add this to your list. A plan needs to accompany each objective. A plan that will ensure the objective is accomplished. A plan needs to accompany each objective. A plan that will ensure the objective is accomplished. So, the process is get alone with the Lord, determine before Him those things that He wants you to accept as responsibility before Him. Come up with the objectives on each of those prioritize those responsibilities. Then take the top priority ones and write objectives on them. And then write a plan, determine a plan that will enable you to accomplish those objectives. For instance, sometimes a plan and the objective are sort of merged together. And you can see that under mind, under spiritual and physical. Actually, on the physical one, for instance, I have said to stay in good physical condition. Well, my plan in order to accomplish that is the 180 pounds, the jogging program, and the tennis and golf, especially the tennis. The golf doesn't really do much for me, but it does help me to unwind once in a while. I really enjoy hitting that ball. It does something for me, particularly at special times when I want to hit something. I used to play squash, and if any of you guys have ever played squash, you take a vicious swing at the ball. I mean, it's far more than you do with a tennis racket. And I really enjoyed that at times, but it's a little too strenuous for me. And I was playing with some young bucks out at the Air Force Academy, and they cleaned my plow, so I resorted to tennis, which is more of a gentleman's game. All right, I don't know what time I'm supposed to be finished, but I've got a little more yet to say, but I thought we'd pause right here, and if you have any questions, try and answer them. If I don't know, I'll just say I don't know. Any questions thus far, particularly on the criteria for writing objectives? Yes?
Different question. Do you have any thoughts on how to keep this in the form of a tool instead of an end in itself? Not to get locked into just a shoveling square?
Yeah. Keep flexibility in it. If as you go along, for instance, during this coming year, I'll haul out this sheet once I've finalized it, which is not in final form yet. Once I've finalized it, I'll haul it out at least once a month, go over it. And if I find I need to make adjustments, I need to change the objective a little bit, or I need to adjust the plan, I have no problem with doing that. It's simply something to get me started on track, keep me on track, but I realize that along the road there's going to have to be some changes made. So I don't let this run me. I run it. Is that what you mean? Yeah. In other words, keep it flexible. Don't feel that once you've got this down in writing, you're locked in for the whole time period with this specifically. There'll be minor changes and adjustments that you'll want to make along the way. Right. Anything else? Yes.
How do you meet the people? I mean, if you don't get down to 180 pounds by that time, what does that do to you?
Well, it means I haven't achieved my objective. And I think I've gotten to the place where I can accept failure. But the beautiful thing about being a Christian is that no failure need be final. 1 John 1:9 is still in the book, and we can claim it if we need to. Now, if I don't make 180 pounds, I'm not sure that that's sin. It borders on it, in my case. But I don't let that stop me. I'll keep going on it. If I feel that the goal is worthwhile, and I still want to achieve it, but I don't achieve it within the time frame, I'll keep working on it. I'll just, for instance, if I get to the end of this year, and, well, under the spiritual, to maintain a program of Bible study, Bible reading, and scripture memory. Now, what I still need to do on that is I want to, especially on Bible study, I want to come up with a little plan. I want to predetermine some of the things that the Lord wants me to be working on in terms of Bible study this coming year. I've already got about three or four things in mind. But supposing I get to the end of the year and I find that I have not carried out the whole plan. I haven't gotten finished with a particular line of study. One of the things I want to study this year is godliness, the whole subject of godliness in the Scripture. But suppose I get to the end of the year and I find I haven't finished it. Well, what do I do? Well, the first thing I will do is get down on my knees before the Lord and determine whether He wants me to keep plowing ahead on this. And if so, then I weave it into my objectives for the coming year. If I need to confess it as sin, I do that and get on with it. But forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on to those things which are ahead. That's the idea. No failure need be final. Anyone else? And I do that, by the way. If I achieve all these this year, it will be a miracle. And I am not anticipating miracles of this nature this year. Anything else? Now, when we're finished here, are there discussion groups or what?
We're supposed to go right to the workshop.
At what time?
A quarter till,
huh? Well.
But that's good because all these questions will be asked of us that we couldn't answer.
All right, let me suggest one thing then as you leave. Where do you start? Well, the thing that each of you need to do, and you can't do this so much in your discussion groups, you need to do it alone, really, or at least as a couple. As a husband and a wife. Take some time, get out on the rocks, out on the lawn, and determine before the Lord what He has in terms of responsibility for you in your life and your ministry for this coming year. Or for the next 6 months, or for the next 3 months. That's where to start. Then once you have some things down in writing, what is number one on that list? What's the most important thing? What's the second most important thing? What's the third most important thing? Prioritize them. Then go back and start writing objectives, especially on the first four or five at the top of your priority list. Then you'll have to pray over the rest of them. But if you can achieve objectives in terms of the first four or five that God lays on your heart, brother, that is quite an accomplishment in the course of a year's time or a few months' time. And then work out a little plan how you're going to achieve those objectives. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank You that You are the God of order. That when You created this world, You brought it into being in an orderly fashion. That we see around us in the universe order and organization and planning. Even the fact that astronauts and cosmonauts can meet up 130 some miles above the Earth in space at a predetermined time is an indication that You planned this universe in an orderly fashion. And Lord, the thing that I would pray for all of us here this morning is we would look at our lives in the same way that You looked at the creation of the world. That it does need order. It does need some organization. It does take some planning in order for it to accomplish that which You have in mind to accomplish. So Lord, give us the motivation to have objectives and goals for our lives that are meaningful and real and attainable and that will bring glory and honor to Your name. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.